that name, because there is no other name in which a man can be saved other the name of Jesus Christ. He himself even said that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. And now we're going to have the Patriot Pastor come and regale us with history and godliness and righteousness and truth. Pastor Gary.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. We will have no other king but King Jesus. I ask you just briefly to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, to be on this hallowed ground, and it is hallowed ground and sacred ground, for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is because the Lord is present with us. Not because we have as big a crowd as Fenway Park or other such place of gathering, but because we have called upon Him and joined Him, and we love Him, and He visits His people. And I think you will find in years to come, days to come, months to come, weeks to come, that you're going to see the power of the Lord manifest and His presence manifest with those who truly love Him and serve Him in ways that we have not yet seen His presence. So in Scripture, in Isaiah chapter 33, and I suppose for those that are atheists and those that are religionists of all other kinds who don't believe the truth of God's holy word, the Bible, I guess as I read it, they'll be weeping. And one day they will have to bow their knee and their tongues will have to confess. And they'll understand why the Patriot Pastor and others stand up before groups all over the country and say, we'll have no other king but King Jesus. Isaiah chapter 33 at verse 22, reading from the King James translation. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Let's read that together. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. You can be seated. Certainly been a great honor and privilege to come here to Otis. It's a famous town. It's got a wonderful history. This church has lovely saints of God being pastored by a man of God who not only loves Jesus, loves the people that he shepherds, but he also loves his native land, America. And I admire that in anybody, and I don't appreciate anybody in this country that does not love America. And I make no bones about it, I'm just old enough and strong enough, and I'm carrying a musket. I even have a bayonet, I don't have that with me right at the moment. To tell people there is nothing wrong or anything unscriptural, unbiblical, unchristian to love our country. In fact, the reverse is true. To not love the country that the Lord chose for you to be born in, or that He chose for you to migrate to legally, that is a sinful attitude, and it's evil. And we have a lot of it in our country today, and I'm very glad to have the multitude of opportunities to tell people that. Needless to say, some people don't invite me back, and a lot of people don't even invite me to dinner. And I do understand that we are going to have I don't call it a free dinner, because somebody had to pay for it. After our service here today, we're going to have a complimentary dinner. Because there, as I was told growing up, there ain't no free lunch. On this day, as we have chosen to read publicly the Declaration of American Independence, I believe there are a lot of misunderstandings about the document, and I think we need to clear up some of those misunderstandings before we actually read the document. It bothers me to think how few Americans have ever seen it, ever read it, and have all kinds of things to say about it, and I'll ask them the question, would you please show me in the Declaration of American Independence what you're talking about? So as I hold this up, and you see this is a quill pen in my hand, it's a turkey feather. And of course, wild turkeys, they're a pretty formidable bird, actually. They almost became one of our national symbols if Benjamin Franklin had gotten his way. And I always ask people this, would you have the courage, the holy boldness, to sign a document that admitted that you were treasonous to the established government of your country? And I would hope and pray that the saints of God, patriotic American Christians today, would say, give me that pen, I'd be glad to sign it. Because I want to tell you, I would sign it. I believe that in the history of the world, it's one of the most important documents ever written and ever signed. Now, you may not know this, but actually, there was a committee drawn together by Congress called the Committee of Five. On June 11th this year, my wife and I went to the Granary Cemetery in Boston on Tremont Street, and we celebrated that day with a musket firing, and we celebrated that day by speaking on behalf of three of the people, actually four, but three of them were signers of the Declaration. In fact, that committee of five was John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, of course, John Adams of Massachusetts, Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania, originally from Massachusetts, Thomas Jefferson of Virginia, Robert Livingston of New York, and Roger Sherman of Connecticut. And this afternoon, a dear friend, Commodore Kendall from Connecticut, is going to share briefly a little bit later on about having gone to the gravesite of Roger Sherman this very day. So that committee of five, and you can imagine that the different parts of the country, of the original colonies that they came from, they knew lots of people. They got a lot of input. So when people say Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration and he solely was involved in it, and by the way, he never signed it because he was away in France as our representative, he did not write it. He might have been the scribe, in a sense, and he was on the committee of five, but those five men wrote a document, and by the way, the founding fathers and the framers did not pull these documents out of thin air. If you think that, you are very much mistaken. They sought the Lord continually with prayer. What Lord did they seek? The one we have just been praising. The one we call King Jesus. The one that's in the Bible. Not only in prayer, but also because they were great historians and they had great help from others to research other documents of the world, other constitutions, things like the Magna Carta, which we've just celebrated 800 years of. They also looked at King Alfred of England in the 8th century, British common law, things that happened with Oliver Cromwell in the 1600s in England, other documents throughout the world. But their main source of what they were writing was the Scriptures, the Bible. A lot of people don't know that. They've been lied to. They've been cheated. They've listened to revisionist historians that they shouldn't have listened to, that have tried to tell you that America is not a Christian nation. When Benjamin Franklin was asked about it, he said, you would have a hard time in colonial America finding an atheist. They were Christians of different stripes, so to speak. They understood that. They opposed tyranny of every kind, whether it be civil liberties, whether it be the liberty to worship God in spirit and in truth. So even hierarchies and church organizations that had not been, as they should have been tyrannical, different governments of different country, and then they said, it will not happen here. They also understood that when God sent the Ten Commandments down with Moses from Mount Sinai, he did not send down the Ten Suggestions. He sent down the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. And they also recognized that God had chosen to let his people not just learn orally, but to have it, if you will, in writing. And so that's one of the reasons why I go nowhere, including when I was at Bunker Hill or Granary Cemetery recently, or on Lexington Green in Bedford just recently, and I read from Scripture and hold out the Bible. Because I want people to know, whether you agree with it or you don't, whether you like it or you don't, it has absolute influence on the foundational documents of this country, because our founders and our framers did not pull these documents out of thin air. They were guided by the hand of the Lord, and I believe that absolutely. The Declaration of American Independence was first read from the churches. Can you imagine that? I would venture to say that this 4th of July, of course Sunday is July, not this week, but the following week will be July 5th on a Sunday. I would venture to say that very few churches in America, I'm sad to say and sorry to say, have enough courage and enough understanding to read the Declaration, which is only some 1,350 words, if you're a good enough reader. And you're from some place like New York and you talk really fast. And by the way, I may talk fast, but I'm not a New Yorker. I'm a native New Englander from Massachusetts and New Hampshire. You can read it in less than 15 minutes. So why won't churches read it? And as we are reading it together today, and I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to read it with a determination and the solemn reverence and the enthusiasm and the conviction of those that wrote it and those that signed it. Last night, in having conversation with one of the brothers that came, we had a tremendous turnout last night for our service. Many people stayed for a couple hours afterwards with questions. And a fella asked me about the signers and so forth. I said, every person that put their signature, and I was wearing a shirt last night that actually had their signatures on it. When you're as big as I am, you might as well be a billboard. And I said, as you look at the signatures on there, of course, John Hancock, you know, signed it very, very largely. He said, I want the King of England to see it without his spectacles and put a high bounty on my head. 50,000. Whatever it was, pieces of silver or whatever that they were going to use. And of course, one of the prominent signers who signed it beautifully, and their handwriting was a lot better than most people today. It's amazing. Beautiful signatures. But one of them that you need to know about was a Presbyterian preacher named John Witherspoon. John Witherspoon was a direct descendant of John Knox, the Scot.
He knew about oppression by church. He knew about oppression by government. John Witherspoon made the statement, if I thought that this Declaration of American Independence in any way, shape, or form
would in any way, shape, or form denigrate biblical Christianity, I would kill this revolution in its cradle. So the truth of the matter is, the 56 signers, is really 55, and one who didn't get to sign, Robert Livingston of New York, didn't get to sign it, but he was on the committee of five. Everyone who signed it wrote it. Let me give you, for instance, I write a document. I believe it. I hand it to you, and you say, Garrett, you know what? Thank you for writing this document. I wish I had written it, but you wrote it, but I believe it, and I'm going to sign it with you. And remembering what I opened with here today, of saying that signing the document is saying, King George of England, Parliament of England, we know we're British subjects, but we have now chosen, we're of age, we want to be a constitutional republic, and we want to have King Jesus as the only king, and we're done with human kings. And we know by signing this, you are going to want to execute us for treason. I said last night, and it's worth repeating here again today, in England, as we speak right now, they're having a trial for the Christian barons, the Christian leaders, that caused King John Lackland to sign the Magna Carta. So here we are 800 years later, and monarchists in England are still upset about the Magna Carta and want to try people who've been dead for 800 years for treason. If you see the picture on the front page of the Sons of the American Revolution magazine, the President General of the SAR organization and also the head regent of the Daughters of the American Revolution went to visit the Queen of England. And she's still upset about it, even though we helped them to not be speaking German twice in the First and Second World War. Little preamble there. Because America is a very different nation than any nation on the earth, because we have some documents that were not pulled out of thin air, and they didn't change every bad hair day with people in power. They have remained as the foundation of our country, and on my watch, and hopefully on your watch too, we will continue to read them, point them out, and find out, as many of you have asked, I want to put every single person who's in any government office, from the dog catcher to the person occupying the White House, would you sign this document? Do you believe what this document says? Last night I told you about the oath of office, whether President of the United States, all the way down to the oath of somebody becoming a citizen, that they have to forsake all principalities and powers and any other foreign nation. That's the oath. I want these people to be on record as saying, no, I wouldn't sign that. And far as I'm concerned, I'd be glad to have it destroyed. I want them on record of saying, and I challenge them to do it. And I want you to challenge them. Hold up a reproduction of this document, the Declaration. Hold up your copy of the Constitution. Would you sign this today? Well, actually, no, I wouldn't. Thank you. You are now to be removed from office because you violated your oath of office, and you've just admitted it. I mean, didn't your lawyer tell you, zip your lip, don't admit things like that? Right? In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands with which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. I pause for one moment to interject this. What country of the world has ever said, we're going to declare independence and we're going to explain why we're doing it to the rest of the world? Only a Christian nation that does not want to violate the Bible and God's word, and they declared this to the entire world. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present king of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. First, he has refused to assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. Two, he has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. Three, he has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. Five, he has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing with manly firmness his invasions on the rights of the people. And six, he has received and refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers incapable of annihilation have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsion within. Seven, he has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriation of lands. Eight, he has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. Nine, He has made judges dependent on His will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. Number 10, He's erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. Take it back. Thanks. 12. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. 13. He has combined with others to subject us in jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving His assent to their acts of pretended legislation. Number 14, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us. Number 15, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. Number 16, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. Number 17, for imposing taxes on us without our consent. Number 18, for depriving us in many times of the benefits of trial by jury. Number 19, for transporting us beyond the seas to be tried for pretended offenses. Number 20, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule in these colonies. Number 21, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of His protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. 25. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. 26. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their own hands. 27. He has excited domestic insurrections among us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of the frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. And finally, 28, in every stage of this oppression, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only with repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Now, have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren? We've warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We've reminded them of circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We've appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and of sanguinity. We must, therefore, acquiescence in the necessity which denounces our separation, and hold them as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. And we, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of a right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of a right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That is the total declaration of American independence. The interesting thing that I point out to you, as distressing as it is to me to point it out to you, is that many of the very same things that we fought for at that time are now taking place in this country. What is the price of eternal freedom? Eternal vigilance. Who do we have to blame? I have no one that I choose to blame here today. Let's just say that in this spiritual war, in this world, this fallen world, this is what happens in history. But please, as you leave from this place today, remember, Almighty God that they called upon, and for the support of this declaration, the protection of divine providence, and they capitalized P, they're talking about God the Father, we today, who believe these same things, call upon Him in the same way and trust Him. He is sovereign God, and He will bring it to pass. And so, I'm not going to read every one of the names that's signed there, but I do want you to remember those things. And I want you to remember that there would be no Constitution if there had not been a Declaration of American Independence. And the Declaration of American Independence was just that. We came of age when we understood what we had to do. So I ask you to stand with me this afternoon. We also are in remembrance and thankfulness that the Lord has kept the showers off of us long enough for us to come together. Day is gone, gone the sun, from the lakes, from the hills, from the sky, all is well, safely rest, God is nigh. Thanks and praise for our days, neath the sun, neath the stars, neath the sky. As we go, this we know, God is nigh. Thanks and praise for our days, neath the sun, neath the stars, neath the sky. As we go, this we know, God is nigh. Then good night, peaceful night, till the light of the dawn shineth bright. God is near, do not fear. Friend, good night. Fading light, falling night, trumpet call as the sun strikes in fright. Sleep in peace, comrades dear, God is near. Amen!
Amen.
Huzzah!
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 Okay, we're going to have some militia training here today, like it was in those days. We've got a few folks that have never fired a musket. And so I'm going to have them come and fire the musket. I'm going to have Pastor Crapser come and fire the musket. I'm going to have Commodore Kendall. And Commodore Kendall, if you'll come and address us just briefly about going today to the cemetery to be there at Roger Sherman's grave. And Roger Sherman is the only one of the founding fathers that signed four of our original documents. Great man of God, known well. Come right up here to the microphone.
I don't know how I got the name Commodore, but it was given to me by the Patriot pastor. Anyways, nice to be with you. Greetings from the Nutmeg State, the Constitution State. And as the Patriot pastor said this morning, I had the great honor of placing flags in the Grove Cemetery at Yale University, where many, many famous Patriot founders are buried, including the famous signer of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, and the... My mind went blank. He signed all the original documents. He was the only one. Roger Sherman. And as the Lord would have it, he led me to that area of the cemetery. There were a number of us putting out flags. And I didn't plan it this way, but I came upon his grave. And interestingly, he did not have an existing flag there to replace. So I had the great honor of standing before his tombstone, putting the American flag there, and saying a little prayer. And I sort of heard in my spirit him speak from the grave, "Commodore Kendall, it's too soon to quit. You've only just started to fight for freedom again."
Yeah.
And I think that with yesterday's decision, culminating many other terrible, awful decisions of the Supreme Court, I think the line has been crossed. It's now time for us to take a stand, and it may cost us mightily, but we need to do it in every way possible. And I'll leave you with this. I got a message this morning of the 35 corporations that sent out tweets and their wonderful approval of sodomy marriage. And that's a great place to start to find out who they are and make it very clear to them that you're not going to spend your money with their corporations. If every Christian in America stopped buying these products, not only put them out of business, probably cause a recession in their country, but God be with you, and thank you very much. God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you.